We have come together this morning to praise and worship our awesome God as we do on a regular basis. We can never take that for granted. The longer I live, and I'm getting older with every passing day, I'm reminding myself that that's why we're here. And that's why I'm here, and that's why we're all here, as preachers, Bible class teachers, elders, men and women, to serve the living God and to prepare for the home that God has laid up in heaven for us. Today is Mother's Day. Just have some emotion here. But I'm glad that our nation, excuse me, get a drink of water. I'm glad that our nation has set aside a day like this to honor the work and influence of mothers in our society. And I want to say this morning that I'm thankful for my wife, for the work that she has done, the good job that she is doing helping me raise God-fearing children. Actually, in the work of raising children with husbands and with fathers and mothers, you know, my wife spends much more time with the children, making sure that they do their Bible lessons and memory verses, their homework, their housework, and of course, taking care of me is a big job as well sometimes. We just celebrated 20 years of marriage just recently, and through that time, she has spent that time as a homemaker in our home. And so actually, as we come together this morning, kind of struggled to make my way through some emotions, but I want to focus our attention this morning on the subject of mothers and homes and families, and look at this passage in Titus chapter 2, which is a somewhat obscure text in some ways, if you're going to do a lesson on the home, but I think it's a very vital one. And I want to suggest to you this morning and affirm to you that we can build strong families today, strong Christian families, not just because of male leadership, because of husbands and fathers and men like that, but we can build strong families today through the work and the influence of older Christian women. And so that's actually the title of my lesson this morning. If you've got your Bibles open, I encourage you to turn to Titus chapter 2 if you haven't already done so. Is I want to challenge each of the families here this morning to think about the concept of raising strong families in particular. And I really want to stress this throughout the lesson this morning, in particular through the influence of older godly women. And we'll be looking at that this morning. So if you've got your Bibles open to Titus chapter 2, that's going to be the text for the lesson this morning. And just to kind of get a context to bring that into perspective here, in Titus chapter 1, in verses 10 and following, 10 through 16, Paul is writing to Titus about he warns him about the empty talk of the false teachers in Crete in verse 10. He said that there are many rebellious men, they're empty talkers, they're deceivers, they're upsetting whole families. And also we see there in verse 12 that he exposes their ungodly and disobedient lives. He said, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. So these people profess a faith in God, but by their character they deny him. Their character betrays their words. And so when you get into chapter 2 and verse 1, basically Paul is writing to Titus and making a contrast with the previous verses of chapter 1, the empty talk of the false teachers, and encouraging and charging Titus to preach sound doctrine. He says, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. So, and one of the things I would suggest to you that the practical effect of sound doctrine is that a Christian's example and character should match their faith and their belief. And so in verse 2, he talks about the character of older men. They are to be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sensible, sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in hope or perseverance. And the point I want to make here is that we get into this text this morning, that sound teaching, and sometimes we get tired of hearing that phrase, but sound teaching should produce soundness of character in older men and in all of us. Now let's look at this context with me this morning as we focus on what I consider a most important lesson, especially for our women, because sometimes we think that so much time is spent on the men, and we think about the work of our deacons and elders and preachers and all that kind of stuff, and we don't want to spend as much time, we don't feel like we spend as much time talking about the women. But I want to, in particular this morning, no offense up front, talk about the older women. And sometimes we think, well, I'm just an old Christian lady, I can't do very much. That is wrong. That's a lie from the devil of hell. And if we believed it, we hurt ourselves, we hurt the Lord's work, and we hurt our families that we're trying to influence. And so in verses 3 and 4, Paul turns our attention to some instructions that he gives to Titus. Look at verses 3 and 4. In this context of Titus chapter 2, he says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage or train the young women to love their husbands and to love their children." Let's just stop there for a moment. And so, as with the older men, Paul now addresses the issue of the character of the older Christian women. And I want to again affirm this morning in this lesson that we can build strong families today. It's not just by having good fathers and good husbands and granddaddies, but we can build strong families through the influence and the example of godly older women. That's the instructions over here. Older women are to be reverent in their behavior. They're not to be gossips and slaves to much wine, but they're to be teaching what is good so that they may teach or train or encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. And so we see the focus is the same thing that Paul first focuses on, the godly character of the older women. And just to summarize that, I want to suggest to you that the phrase here that's in the New American Standard Version, in fact, most of the translations, that the character of the older Christian women is that they are to be reverent in their behavior. Because out of their character, they can influence a lot of people. And so that's what Paul is telling Titus, that they are to be reverent in their behavior. The King James Version says, "in behavior as becometh holiness." Now, the Greek word for reverent here refers to a person of sacred character. And it carries the image, I'm told, from commentaries of a good priestess who's carrying out her sacred responsibilities or duties in her daily life. To quote from the Expositor's Bible Commentary, the writer said, "The conduct of the older women must reveal that they regard life as sacred in all of its aspects." And I want to tell you, I'm thankful that we have these kind of older women at Broadmoor. And I believe that our older women are making a difference in the lives of our younger women. But that's where Paul begins over here, talking about the character of godly older women. They are reverent in their behavior. Now, continuing in verse 3, he talks about some negative characteristics or qualities. He said they are not to be malicious gossips, and not enslaved to much wine. The idea is that they're to guard their mouth, to watch what they say. They're not to be slanderers, as the English Standard Version says. And apparently, these two sins were probably common among the women of Crete. Remember, in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul has left Titus in Crete so that he would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I have directed you. So, apparently, that was maybe common in that day, and maybe it's common this day. I'm thankful that we, I don't have that problem, but it is a challenge for all of us, and the charge is to the older women not to be engaged in gossip or to be enslaved to much wine. And Paul gave an almost identical admonition to Timothy back in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, as he's been talking here about the characteristics of elders and deacons. He says in verse 11 that women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And so we're to remind ourselves that the older women are to be reverent in their behavior. But I want you to notice a second quality, the one positive quality that Paul mentions here, that really it's a positive charge, that God charges older women to be teachers of what is good. You know, sometimes, again, we think that because Christian women are not elders and preachers, that they can't do much in God's kingdom. That is not the case. God charges older Christian women to be teachers of what is good. Perhaps not always in a formal sense, as Renita did recently, teaching some people, I believe, in Mississippi, younger Christian women. And that's a great thing to do. But also by their lives and by their example, they can instruct and train younger women on how to be a godly woman. And again, we need to keep that thought in our minds that though we don't all have the same function in God's kingdom, we have to understand and see that God charges older women to be teachers of what is good. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the elder. But God says you are the teacher. The teacher of what is good. And if you labor in your mind with the idea that I'm just a woman, I'm just an old Christian woman, I can't do much, that's not true. And the charge comes from God that women, older Christian women, are to be teachers of what is good. And I believe that this may be their greatest work in God's kingdom. That behind the scenes, they're doing the little things, talking to younger families, and I understand that sometimes you need to have a receptive younger woman listen to the wisdom of an older woman. But that's just the nature of the beast. But the issue is, I believe, that older Christian women can make a great contribution towards raising strong families and developing godliness in the lives of younger women. So we see that charge over here in Titus chapter 2, that the older women are charged to be teachers of what is good. And again, you'll notice, well, maybe you won't notice. That's amazing. I bought a new memory stick recently from Walgreens. I guess that's not the place to get them. So I don't know what the deal is with that. But actually, what I need to do is just get a sheet over here with some quotations on it. Might come back to this later, may not. But again, the point that I'm making here is that Paul is giving Titus this twofold charge for the older women, that they are to train the younger women in verse 4 to encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. That's an interesting thought to think about. The charge is for the older women to train the younger women to love their husbands and to love their fathers. Now, does that seem a little bit strange in some ways? Isn't it easy or natural for a young woman to love her husband or to love her children? Well, apparently it's not always easy. And of course, the English Standard Version says that they are to train the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. In fact, in Titus chapter 1, there may have been a special challenge here for these Christians, especially these women. In verse 11, the false teachers that you see in verse 10 are those who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. So there was some disruption going on with the family unit there in Crete. And so the older women are charged to teach the younger women, to train them to love their husbands. Here's a comment again from Tyndale's New Testament Commentaries. He said, in other words, Christian matrons are to assist the younger women in the discipline of family love, not, of course, as interfering busybodies, but as humble advisors on the problems of married life. Is it difficult sometimes for husband and wife to get along, if we're honest with ourselves? Sometimes you can get really mad at your spouse. Sometimes your wife gets really, really, really mad at you. And sometimes you get really mad at her. It happens, I think, almost every family. I don't know anybody that doesn't have issues. But that's just human nature. So the older women can help the younger women dealing with regular issues that come up in the marriage relationship. So that way they can train the younger women to work through the issues that come up in the marriage relationship. What about training young women to love their children? Isn't that natural? Well, apparently not. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul talks about, and I better go there for just a second and look at that. He talks about in the last times, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. And verse 3 says unloving. The King James Version says without natural affection. Sometimes a young Christian mother doesn't give the attention due to her children that they deserve and can get caught up in a lot of other activities. In fact, again, quoting from Tyndale commentaries, the writer says, even our modern age is not without instances of professing Christian women lacking true maternal affection. For women who put their careers before the welfare of their own children are displaying a significant symptom of this weakness. And so I think that's worth thinking about. And so as we look at this text over here, we need to understand, and again in the big picture, that older Christian women can make a big difference in helping to raise strong young Christian families. And again, the charge is not for Titus to teach this so much as it is for the older women. It's not Titus's responsibility to train the young women. It's the older women's responsibility to train the younger women. So his job was to teach this message to the older women, and it was their job to train the younger women. Now, let's go down to verse 5 as we continue to look at this text this morning. So the older women are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may teach or train or encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. And then in verse 5, he gives some other qualities here, and I think this where it picks back up again. He talks about these five qualities of the younger wives and mothers. Number one, he said they are to be sensible. The English Standard Version says that they are to be self-controlled or sober-minded. Abstaining from alcohol and being clear-headed is one of the responsibilities. They are to be pure. New King James Version said they are to be chaste. I think he's talking about sexual purity, but also purity of mind or thought as well. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul gives some instructions over here of a similar nature. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, but refuse to put younger widows on the list. That's the list of regular continued support out of the church treasury. For when they feel sensual desires and disregard for Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. So he is talking there about sexual purity, that the women ought to be pure in mind, in heart, in action. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, I think it's the same word that Paul used in charging Timothy to be pure. In verse 22 he said, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. My New American Standard Version, updated version, says keep yourself free from sin. That's literally keep yourself pure. So that's another one of the qualities of the younger wives and mothers. So again, let's focus here for the remainder of this lesson on the younger wives and mothers. The next thing that he says about the younger wife and mother is that she is to be a worker at home. King James Version says she is a keeper at home. And apparently there's different textual readings on this particular verse and word. And several commentators say that the concept of worker at home perhaps better fits the sentence as opposed to keeper, but they both convey the idea that the younger woman's place and sphere of influence is the home. She is a worker at home. Now, let me say this in this big picture. It's not to say that she can't work outside the home, but I believe that the work of a younger mother and wife has her primary responsibility is towards her husband and her children. And if a young wife and mother gets caught up in climbing the corporate ladder and pursuing a career while neglecting her children and maybe putting them in daycare while she's trying to make a lot of money, I believe that she has neglected her primary responsibility. She is to be a worker at home. And we need to see that lesson. And again, if you actually look at Proverbs chapter 31 with me for just a minute, we see a balance over here. Notice in Proverbs chapter 31, this is a familiar passage to most of us as it talks about the virtuous woman. It says in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, and for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. So this virtuous woman, this excellent wife, is a wife in whose heart her husband completely trusts. And she does him good, and she works, she's diligent in a lot of different ways. You can read that throughout the chapter. And actually what you see in this chapter is a virtuous woman who is a hard worker, both in terms of being industrious inside and outside the home. But drop down to verse 25 of Proverbs chapter 31. He said, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. What you see in Proverbs chapter 31 is a woman who is a hard worker. She's working, going outside the home, but she's not neglecting her husband or her children. And again, we need to keep a balance in that picture. But we also have to understand, because of the temptations that we face and the issue of materialism and wanting more, that sometimes we can misplace our values and not give the children the attention that they deserve. And again, just some thoughts to think about, as you may have heard things like this before. But no success in the workplace, I want to suggest to you, will compensate for failure in the home. It can't be done. And the reality is we all struggle to pay our bills, and we all do struggle sometimes to pay our bills. You can make more money, but you can't make more children. That they are yours one time, and they are young once. And once they've grown up, you can never get those years back again. If we were too busy, whether it's a wife pursuing a business career, or maybe a husband being so busy he's trying to make money and build a bigger house, whatever the issue might be, once that time is gone, it can never be returned. And so older women have to train younger women to be workers at home. And another way of illustrating that, I've been coaching soccer for quite a long time. And from time to time, I get some help from Jeremy. He's a soccer player by trade. We have a guy who protects the goal. We call him the keeper or the goalie. And again, thinking in terms of the wife is one who is the keeper or the worker at home. The work of the goalie or the keeper is to protect the goal. But sometimes with an inexperienced young goalie, he starts running. He sees the ball come down the field. He runs way out of the goal box. Now, sometimes it may be a wise thing to do that. If he can get to the ball before the offensive player does and kicks it downfield, once he's outside the goal box, he can't touch the ball with his hands. But if he stays outside the box or goes too far outside the box, gets too far downfield, we all holler, get back in the goal. You're the keeper. You're the keeper. And I say the same thing to young Christian mothers and those potential young Christian mothers. You are the keeper of the home. You are the worker at home. Yes, you can engage in other things, and there's ways to make money, to be creative, and all that kind of thing. But Paul says that the wife, the young Christian wife, is to be the worker at home. We live in a culture that resents that and is bucking that trend. But our job is to honor God's word to the best of our ability. Another quality that we have over here in Titus chapter 2 is that for the young Christian wife, that she is to be kind. And I think we understand that the constant demands that a young mother can face can cause her sometimes to be harsh and irritable. And so she needs to develop a sense of kindness. All of us need to be kind to one another. And it says also in verse 5 is that she is to be subject. They are to be subject to their own husbands. And so the godly young woman, the Christian woman, accepts her relationship to her husband out of a sense of reverence towards God. She's going to love him and honor him and to submit to him the way God wants her to. And I want to suggest to you, in connection with all these verses, that when a young Christian wife, when young Christian wives and mothers develop a godly character and remain committed to their husbands and to their children, they honor the Word of God. And that's what it says over here. To be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the Word of God will not be dishonored. When we reject God's will, whether it's a man, a woman, a young Christian wife, an older Christian woman, an older Christian man, if we reject our place in God's kingdom and in the family relationship, then we cause the enemies of God to ridicule us and to speak blasphemy against us. But when we do what God wants us to do in terms of developing the kind of character that He wants us to have and to do the work that He has assigned to us, we honor God and we honor His Word. And I want to suggest to you this morning as we close the lesson that we can build strong families younger people especially build strong families through godly wives, godly mothers, and godly grandmothers. And a question I want to leave with you this morning for myself as well is the question, are you honoring God's Word? Am I honoring God's Word? God has laid down the pattern for the home. It's up to us to accept that and to follow that to the best of our ability. And if we want to honor God and have His praise, then we have to be obedient to Him in all that we do. If you're not a Christian, then you need to obey God's plan of salvation. He tells you how to be saved, that you need to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, be willing to repent of your sins, you must be willing to confess your faith in Him, and be baptized in water to have your sins forgiven. That's how you honor God, by obeying His Word completely. Or it may be that you have slipped in your faith in some ways. Maybe your priorities aren't what they ought to be. The truth is, from time to time, all of us let our priorities get out of perspective. We need to get them back in place. If we can encourage you or help you and pray with you and for you this morning, if there's any way that we can help you, come forward while I stand and sing this invitation song.